Have you ever picked up a copy of the Book of Concord and been overwhelmed by it? There's a whole bunch of difficult names and documents and apologies and formula of concords and epitomes and solid declarations, and before you know it, you don't even know where you are in the book. Well, if you've had this question, you'll be interested in picking up the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, your reader's guide to the Book of Concord. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness or learn more on the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Critical race theory is not a justice enterprise. It's just another oppression enterprise flipped on its head. In answering of one claim of injustice with another attempt at injustice to even the scales.
Separation of church and state, which is now ensconced in our Constitution, that's a very American idea, an Enlightenment idea. But it's not a Lutheran idea per se. The distinction is absolutely there.
My children will know and grandchildren will know that I subscribe to the Book of Concord and confessing it with my whole heart. I will stand in front of Christ with what I believe, teach, and confess based on the Bible.
Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in Jesus. And the strength of our faith completely depends on the strength of the object of our faith.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Out in front of the Wilkin House, the American flag is prominently displayed, an oversized American flag, right off the front facing the street where we live. I just noticed this morning that it needed a little tending and a little care, probably needs to be replaced. It's getting a little bit faded. Why do we as Americans display the flag? We want to say something about love for country, the ideals that at least at one time the United States strongly represented. Now, there's a similar function for a confession of faith by a Christian. It should be on display. It should be clearly understood. And it should tell people what it is you believe, what it is you confess and teach. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the Lutheran confessions as a symbol of the Christian faith. Pastor Sean Smith will be our guest. We'll spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nathaniel Blake joins us for a conversation on the relationship between the ideology that supports abortion and transgender ideology. Then Dr. John West, Managing Director and Vice President of the Discovery Institute, will join us to talk about faith and science. And Francis Collins, the Director of the National Institutes of Health, will round everything off today with your email and the Issues Etc. comment line in the last few minutes of the program. Joining us to talk about the Lutheran Confessions as a symbol of the Christian faith, Pastor Sean Smith. He is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Campbell Hill, Illinois, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Wine Hill, Illinois. And he's host of Concord Matters and author of a column for the October edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled The Church's Flag. Sean, welcome.
It's a great pleasure to be here with you, Todd.
How did the early church fathers use this term symbol?
Well, Cyprian referred to the baptismal confession and the baptismal rite as a symbol because it distinguished Christians from non-Christians. Augustine also talked about a symbol as a rule of faith. And then by the start of the 4th century, the Apostles' Creed was pretty universally referred to as a symbol of the church. And by the Middle Ages, that name was really also used to describe also the Nicene and the Athanasian creeds as well. And so really in the history of the church, this word symbol has been tied to our creeds and confessions as the way that we talk about what we stand for as Christians.
You say that the Christian symbols are to the church what the flag is to our country. What do you mean by that?
Well, the flag, we hold it up there and it represents for us, we look at it and we say that stands for our freedom, that stands for our Constitution. And so in the same way, the symbols of our faith say what we stand for as Christians, and specifically in this case, as Lutheran Christians.
Why do we require all pastors and all congregations of our particular church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to subscribe to the Lutheran Confessions?
Well, the reader's edition of the Book of Concord, which this issue of the Lutheran Witness was in honor of Paul McCain, who had worked so hard and diligently on that. We call it Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. And if you think about what that word means as well, harmony is what Concordia means, with one heart. It's our unity. And so much like, again, the flag for our country, it's the symbol our unity is found there. And so it really does bring us together so that we are united, that we do have in harmony a confession. And so especially as we call ourselves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, synod means to walk together in a common confession and practice. Our unity has to be found somewhere. And so that's in our symbols here.
So why must that subscription on the part of the pastor or the congregation to the confessions, why must it be unconditional?
Well, because if it's not unconditional, then you essentially become the arbiter of what we do stand for. And there can be things that you personally hold in your congregation or as a pastor or as a person in a congregation that isn't with the others. And so then what unity is there in that? I mean, look, Sesame Street taught me one of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't belong, right? And so if we have that going on in our church body, you never know what you're going to get. And how can we go from place to place, especially in a very mobile culture like we have? How can you have any assurance that what you're getting when you go and visit there is faithful and in agreement with Scripture? There's no trust there and there's no actual unity.
And on the congregational level, those Lutheran confessions function for the pastor as a doctrinal standard, a standard for his entire ministry and his teaching and his preaching. The congregation then knows what he believes, or at least what he ought to believe, and then what he ought to be teaching as well. Talk about that.
I really think that it's important for us. You know, sometimes we will often dismiss in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod especially and say, well, it's kind of good enough to get the small catechism and maybe the large catechism as our basis of teaching and so forth. And I certainly agree with that. Those are great documents to begin with and so forth. But our congregations do subscribe as members of the synod themselves. Our synod is made up of pastors and congregations. And so the congregation does subscribe to all of these symbolical books as well. And so they need to know what's in those. And we talk about, you know, especially it became very popular in the 90s and 2000s to talk about the essentials. You know, it's fine as long as we agree on the essentials. Well, that is what the Book of Concord is all about, and especially like the Augsburg Confession. It's the essentials of who God is and what he has done and what we believe about this God and how he acts. And so it's really important for our congregation members to be familiar with our Lutheran symbols as well, so that there's not this disagreement, that there's not this disunity, not just for their pastor and what they can expect in going into a congregation, but also among themselves, so that they're not setting themselves up against their pastor, which we sometimes see happen, unfortunately, in some situations.
Like the American flag, what are some ways that the Lutheran confessions are misunderstood or misrepresented?
I really wrestled when I was writing this article about using the American flag as a point of comparison, just because it is so controversial, especially in our current context and what we've seen over the last several years with kneeling at football games or sporting events in general. And so in this sense, the American flag is a really great example of this, because why are we so upset about people who kneel? Or why are there people who kneel that take that very seriously? It's because what ultimately does this stand for? And if we don't agree on what this stands for and what this symbolizes, not in a sense that it isn't there, but is pointing to something that actually is there, it compares it to. That's the word symbolein in the Greek. That's where we get the word symbol. It's comparing these things and these ideals. And when we disagree on that, then we have mass chaos and we have disunity, and we're just going to yell and shout at each other, like we see happen with the American flag in our secular society now, in American civil society right now. And we've been seeing that in the church for a long time as well. But ultimately, again, our unity has to be found on certain ideals that we hold to be true. And the American flag is our symbol of that, according to the Constitution. And for us, our confessions, our Lutheran confessions and the creeds all the way back to the ancient church are that for us as Christians.
What's the danger of simply ignoring what our confessions say, either the congregation or a pastor?
The danger of ignoring what our confessions say is that you lose the unity once again, and then you begin to have all this fighting about what we stand for, but we can't agree on what that is. And so you bring in things like very practical things about what we're doing in the Lord's Supper, for instance. Well, if we don't have unity on what we confess is actually going on there, namely that Christ's body and blood is truly present in, with, and under the bread and wine there, right? Well, then we start to get this fighting that just we're going to continually fracture apart and just kind of everybody doing their own thing. It becomes really quite chaotic.
We spoke a little earlier about ways that the Lutheran confessions can be misunderstood or misrepresented. One thing I have noticed, sadly, even among fellow Lutheran pastors, is a tendency to say, well, yes, I subscribe to the confessions unconditionally, but if it's rightly understood in its historical context, or if we understand that parts of it, in essence, are not applicable to us anymore, they almost context the confessions into insignificance or qualify their subscription. You say that's worse than making no confession at all. Why?
Well, because again, what do you stand for? And that really becomes quite a problem, that you do stand for something. Everybody stands for something. And if we are not clear about what that is, then I don't trust you. And I certainly don't trust what I'm hearing from you in other matters. And so, especially as our focus in the confessions is on Christ and the confession that we receive from Scripture, the true teaching of where our salvation is to be found, then when you start to tear that away, it becomes kind of like we use the old image of a wheel with spokes and so forth. If you start to have missing spokes and so forth, well, that wheel just falls apart pretty quickly. And so this is the problem of if I have to qualify and say, well, yeah, our church technically teaches that, but I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. Well, then why are you misrepresenting yourself and saying that you're here under this flag, under this banner of the Lutheran confession, again, using that symbol imagery, and yet you don't really have agreement with these? I mean, to give another example, it might be seem like a little bit of a stretch, but imagine, if you will, and again, possibly a little politically charged here, but march going down the street advocating for gay marriage, homosexual rights, things of that nature, right? And you're walking down the street with them, and someone comes up to you and they say, oh, I didn't know that you support homosexual marriage. And you would say, well, no, I don't. Well, then that's ridiculous that you're underneath, you know, again, Sesame Street teaches me one of these things is not like the other. So why are you here under that banner? Why are you marching as if this is what you stand for when you don't agree with it? You know, it's not up to you to just simply say, well, I don't agree with what I'm standing with. It brings into doubt so much. And if we can see it in a really obvious, crass example like that, how much more important is it for us in the church to say, no, this is really what we stand for because Jesus is truth and this is the truth that we confess and I agree with it.
So obviously no unity on this side of the resurrection is going to be perfect. And we're really talking about something that a church continually strives toward. What happens when we discover that we really do not believe the same things, that there are pastors or congregations that they take that qualified approach to the Lutheran confessions. And when pressed upon the point, they'll say, well, yeah, I guess I don't agree with everything that the confessions teach. What happens then?
Well, I would just tell them, well, then have the honesty and integrity to disassociate yourself with the Lutheran Church, especially in our case, Missouri Synod, and say that you're not walking with us in our confession and practice, and go become your own independent congregation or go join the ones that you do agree with. You know, I often use the example, C.F.W. Walther, and this might be the Sean Smith paraphrase version of what he actually said, so don't take it word for word quote here, but C.F.W. Walther, I believe, once said, you know, if there's anything Lutheran that isn't Christian, then I don't want to be a Lutheran. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. And that has been very foundational for me, that I often say, I was raised in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but that's not why I am a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor today. It is incumbent upon every Christian to take a look at what is believed, taught, and confessed within our congregations by our pastors and what you are seeing in Scripture. And if that's not what you believe is true according to Scripture, then have the integrity. And it doesn't need to be mean. We don't have to be mean-spirited about any of this, but just have the integrity to say, I don't agree with this. And so I'm not going to stand here with you acting like I do agree with you when I'm holding my private ideas here once again.
Finally, why is it important that not only our pastors and congregations subscribe to the Lutheran confessions, but that they continue to study the Lutheran confessions?
Well, just like it's important to continue to study Scripture, you continually grow deeper and deeper in the knowledge of your faith. I often describe, you know, the life of sanctification is going deeper in your baptism. That's how I teach it to my confirmands and so forth. And the same thing happens when we study Scripture, when we study our confessions. We grow deeper in the knowledge of this baptismal faith. Every time I go through it, I try to make it my mission. And a lot of this came from encouragement by our synodical president, Pastor Matthew Harrison, that, you know, I try to read the Book of Concord every year. And every year I go deeper and deeper into the understanding of this confession. It becomes so much more rich and so much more beautiful and forms and shapes just my own individual faith and the knowledge of my faith and the strength of faith of what we have in Christ our Savior. But then it also forms and shapes my preaching and my teaching to my people and really helps them grow deeper in their faith as well. And a lot of the teaching that I do is really formed and directly from the confessions themselves.
Pastor Sean Smith is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Campbell Hill, Illinois, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Wine Hill, Illinois. He's author of a column for the October edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled The Church's Flag. Sean, thanks.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure to be here with you.
Pastor Tom Baker will be with us to teach a Sunday school lesson next. We'll talk about Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Did the early church teach Scripture alone, or was this a new teaching by the Lutheran Reformers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jake Domick recounts how he found the comfort of the Lutheran confession during a military deployment to Afghanistan. The free online Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org.
Now that you're preparing for this year's Advent season, it's time for some contemplation. Those chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam. The glitter has dropped off, and they're held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas harkening back to the age of glitter balls. Come and see Ad Crucem's wonderful collection of Christmons and our other Christmas ornaments. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADC. RUCEM.com.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is redeemerchico.org.